Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, October 23rd. We're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Thank the Lord for a beautiful day, good day that He's given us here in Madisonville, and the blessed privilege that He's given us to serve Him today, the work He's allowed us to do, the witnessing He's allowed us to do, and we're thankful for His blessings upon it. Well, let me mention a few things by way of prayer request. We're going to head right along in the program. Of course, this being Tuesday night, do want to prepare you for tomorrow evening would be our midweek prayer service. Love to have you come be with us at 7 o'clock here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. That is located at 1415 Island Ford Road, and we'd love to have you with us tomorrow night. Also, we got revival meeting starting up Sunday the 28th and going through Wednesday the 31st. Brother Larry Raines is going to be with us in preaching. I'd like for you to pray for him and pray for us about that meeting. I just talked with him today. He's having some health issues and got some special things going on there, so we're going to pray for him as well. Let's all pray together at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. Thank you, Father, for strength and health and your blessings. Lord, I do pray that you touch Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall, and Lord, help especially there about her difficulties that she's had with her heart. Lord, I pray you'd help Brother Raines in that situation there that he's involved in, and we'll probably say more about that later, but Lord, I pray you'd help there. Help my wife. She's not been feeling well. Brother Steve, not been feeling well. And Lord, I pray you touch and help them and strengthen them, meet their needs. Lord, I pray for Miss Sharon, you touch her and her body. Lord, I pray that you'd help Brother Woodard and his needs there, Lord. I pray for, Lord, for Mrs. Holliday, you touch her and her body and others, Lord, that we know about and are praying for. Those unspoken requests, Lord, I pray you'd meet those needs. Please help our upcoming radio marathon to raise the money we need. Help, dear God, about our revival meeting coming up. And Lord, I pray, use the program today. Anoint it, bless it, breathe on it, accomplish your will. Let the good seed fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us, and we're going to head right into a song and then the message for this week on the broadcast. We've got a song here by the Shepherd family, singing one that's entitled The Price of the Book. And it's talking about martyrdom. It's talking about the fact that people shed their blood, that we could have the Bible in a language that we can read and understand. Thank God for the King James Bible. Thank God for those that laid down their life, that shed their blood, that we might have this Bible. Amen. So listen to this song. Hope it be a blessing. Then the message from the Word of God. We are drawing to a close on our study of the book of Malachi, verse by verse. We're going to finish that up, Lord willing, going through this week, and then Wednesday of next week we will complete these sermons, so hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to begin, as we normally do, in Malachi chapter number 2, and there towards the end of it, about verse number 17, we're going to deal with that, and then the first few verses of chapter 3 to get the title idea, and then we're going to move along to chapter number 4 and the last few verses, 4, 5, and 6. Those will be our text reading for this week. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" Chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Now jump over to chapter 4 and read verse number 5 and 6, last two verses. The Bible said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, in our text that I've read to you,
Again, the book of Malachi, very practical book, I believe. Starting out with the fact that they have angered God. God's gotten tired of their questioning. God's gotten tired of their complaining. God's especially gotten tired of them trying to condone what He has condemned. And they've called evil good. And He said, I'm tired of hearing it. He said, you've wearied me with your words. Now, He mentions that He's going to send His messenger in chapter 3. And as I've said before, chapter 3 verse 1 deals with the coming of John the Baptist, and which precedes the first coming of the Lord. Verse 2 talks about the second coming of the Lord, that He's coming in judgment, and He deals with that, who may abide the day of His coming, and that situation. Well, in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, again, sums this up, and He's dealing with the second coming of the Lord. If you remember, I mentioned that He told us there were five promises that He was going to give to the people of God in this last part of Malachi. In chapter 3 and verse number 16, He promises they will be remembered. In chapter 3, verse number 17, He promises that they will be rewarded when He gathers in His jewels. Chapter 3, verse 18, He says they will be recognized. You'll be able to discern between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the righteous and the wicked. And then chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the last one in verses 4 through 5, there will be a revival. Amen. There will be a revival of the people of God. And in other words, He's bringing them back to remembrance. Chapter 4, verse number 4, He says, remember ye the law of Moses. Now, when we're talking about revival, revival is a return to God, but it is a return to the Word of God. Amen. And Malachi, I believe, prophetically promised that the true believer would be revived, amen, before that great day. And he gave a promise to these present day Israelites that there is a recipe to follow in order to have revival. Amen. And I mentioned this to you, revival, the recipe, there must be a remembering, there must be a repenting, and there must be a returning to the things of God. Amen. In order for us to experience revival. And I believe He shows all of that in verse number 4. He says they ought to remember the Word of the Lord. Now verses 5 and 6, the key here is they need to recognize the witness of the Lord. Not only remember the Word, but recognize the witness. In verse number 5, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I want to deal primarily with verse 5 today. Now, Malachi announced that Elijah the prophet would precede the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Just as Malachi's prophecy entails two appearances of Christ, His first coming as Redeemer, His second coming as the Revelation. Also, this prophecy takes part in two appearances of Elijah the prophet. Amen. The first appearance of Elijah was to precede the day fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist. Amen. John the Baptist foretold as that messenger of Elijah. Look in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Jump down to verse number 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. That's the New Testament spelling of Elijah in the Old Testament. And Elias is the same man as Elijah. Read again verse 17. And he shall go before him. Who's he? He, John the Baptist, will go before him, the Lord Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. But the angel said that this John the Baptist was going to be Elijah. Notice that he did not say he would be Elijah in person, but that he'd be Elijah in spirit and in power. Amen. But he's mentioning this Elijah that's going to precede the first coming of the Lord. And he said that's not Elijah in person, but that is Elijah in power. Amen. And the spirit and the power of Elijah. He foretold that John the Baptist would fulfill Malachi's prophecy by preaching that would turn hearts of the people. Amen. Turning is repentance. John came preaching, repent. That means turn from your sin. Amen. That it would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Amen. Now, I say this second clause is different in words, undoubtedly having the same meaning. The phrase, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, I believe must parallel Malachi's phrase, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Now, let me say this. There has been some confusion about this part of the prophecy, because some people misread and misunderstand these few verses when he said, I will send you Elijah. I've been told that Jewish tradition still to this day looks for Elijah to come before the Messiah comes. They say that in their marriage ceremonies, they have a marriage feast. And in the marriage feast, they set an empty sitting, a empty chair with an empty plate with unused forks and spoons and utensils. And that chair is recognizing they're waiting for Elijah to come and announce to them the Messiah is coming. They say that they prayed for the appearance of Elijah. They believe that Elijah would come before the Lord does. And he will, because Malachi said he would, but they missed it when the Lord came because they did not recognize and they did not admit that John was Elijah in spirit and in power as the angel prophesied he would be. Amen. Now here's one of the reasons there's confusion. Look in John chapter number 1, if you will. Verse number 21. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? Now there it's straightforward question. They say, John, are you Elijah? And he saith unto them, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. These priests and Levites gather together to hear John. They question him, ask him point blank, are you Elijah? And he answers, no. This is not John's denial of being a partial fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. Amen. I believe he must have known what the angels told his dad. Amen. But I believe Zacharias probably told John what his prophecy was. I believe he probably informed John about what his ministry was, that he was to precede the coming of the Lord. He was to prepare the way, and he was to preach to a people that were prepared to receive the Messiah. Amen. And told him that he was a fulfillment of this prophecy of Elijah. I don't know how much John knew, but I believe he knew something, that he knew that he was not the person of Elijah. Elijah does not need to be reincarnated, by the way. Elijah didn't die. He's still alive somewhere. God's going to bring him out. Amen? God's going to bring him out, I believe, in the book of Revelation, and he'll preach there and die in the streets of Jerusalem on that day. But John the Baptist said, when they asked him point blank, are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? He said, no, he's not. And so people misunderstand. They say, well, I thought John was. Look in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 13 through 14. And he said in verse number 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Now, wait a minute. Malachi said Elijah's coming. The Jews were looking for Elijah to come. The angel told John's dad, Zacharias, John's going to be the fulfillment, at least partial fulfillment of that prophecy. He's going to come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. And so the people gather around and ask John, are you Elijah? He says, no. Jesus says, if you can receive it, this is Elijah. So what's he saying? Well, turn on with me to Matthew chapter 17. Just a little farther in the book of Matthew, he clarifies it even more. Makes the statement even bolder. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 10 through 13. And the disciples ask him, saying, now this is not the unbelievers asking, this are believers. These men are asking him, and they're followers of the Lord. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall, that's future tense, come. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, here's where we're at. Malachi prophesied, the prophet said Elijah's going to come before that great day. He's going to prepare the way. The angel said, John's going to be born. You're going to name him John. He's going to be in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord. John shows up, preaches. These unbelievers come to him and say, are you the man? Now, Mark, they're unbelievers. And they said, are you the man? they could see. He was the man. He was fulfilling the role. And yet he said no. And so when they asked our Lord said, if you can receive it, he's the one. In other words, he was the one that was gathering believers. John was not gathering in unbelievers. The Lord did not build his church on unbelievers. Amen. By the way, one of the problems in fundamental independent Baptist churches years ago were that they were 1, 2, 3 and people in. They were getting people into the church, building their churches on unbelievers, building them on ball games, building them on personalities, building them on programs and promotions, and it destroyed the church rather than built the church. Amen. Right. Now today we've gone a whole other direction. It's really the same direction, just full force into it, and that we're trying to build the church on entertainment, and we're trying to get sinners in, amen, and we're not even trying to build churches, really. We're just trying to build crowds. We're just trying to build fellowships together, amen. And it'll never happen, but our Lord built His church out of believers, amen. And to them that believe, John was in the Spirit and in the power of Elijah, preparing them for that great day, amen. For those that didn't believe, they were unprepared. Now Elijah's coming back in person, our Lord said that again. He's coming back in person. John was not the person of Elijah, but he was in the power of Elijah. Amen. And it was a partial fulfillment. Now, let me say it this way. John came only to announce and prepare the people for the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Elijah himself will come and announce and prepare the people of Israel for the second advent of Christ. Almost all early Christians understood these prophecies to have a double meaning. Amen. Including John the Baptist. Most early Christians understood he was the Elijah in the first appearance of Christ. And they believed Elijah the Tishbite, the prophet himself, would come later to announce the second appearance of Christ in Jerusalem. The way the book of Malachi is written, it allows for this double reading. Here I'll show you. Look with me in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. We open with this text. This is the 31st time we've opened with this text in this study. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stop there. Malachi 3, 1, talking about the first coming. Malachi 3, 2, talking about the second coming. Because it goes talking about judgment, right? Malachi 3:1 talking about the first coming speaks of a messenger. He does not call him Elijah. That's John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 deals with the same thing verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3 deal with. And that is the second coming, and he specifically denotes him as Elijah. There is no reference to Elijah as the first messenger, but he comes only in the spirit and the power of that man Elijah to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Then our text reveals that Elijah will indeed appear in person at the end in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, think about this. Why would Elijah come back? And by the way, there's some people believe those two witnesses. I won't argue over who those two witnesses are. I plan on being in glory when that takes place. Amen. But there's no doubt one of them's Elijah. Very plainly said right here. Some people say the other's Enoch because those two men didn't die. And that God's holding them, preparing them. I read several commentators. They say it's definitely Elijah and Enoch. And then they're going to die. They're going to shed their blood in Jerusalem in that day. Others believe, and I tend to believe, that it's Elijah and Moses. And one of the reasons I believe that is because they're the two that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. And they were talking to him about the last things. Amen. They were getting things ready, getting things prepared about the last things. And so I personally believe that it'd be Moses. Another reason I believe it'd be Moses is because Moses said back in the book of Deuteronomy that before the end, God's going to raise up another prophet as me, like unto me. That's Moses. Amen. You talk about the law and the prophets, that's Moses and Elijah. That's primarily, Elijah's the most powerful prophet mentioned. Any prophet that did anything, they talked about coming in the power of Elijah. Elijah represents the prophets. Moses represents the law. I personally believe it'll be Moses and Elijah on that day. And some people say, well, that won't be fair. Moses will have to die twice. So did Lazarus. Our Lord called him out of the grave. He lived. He had to die again. So did a lot of those saints that rose at the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. The Bible said that many of the graves burst open and they walked through the streets of Jerusalem on that resurrection day. They'll have to die again, or had to die again. Amen. Or our Lord took them on to glory somehow. Amen. So it won't hurt them. God can take care of that. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.